Good morning. Good morning. So we're picking up with part two of a message. Series is only going to have three parts, but we started it a couple weeks ago called Unleashing the Power of God's Word. Read it, speak it.
Yes.
Do it. We skipped a week last week because we had our first church picnic on this property.
Yay!
Yeah. And it was just so much fun for those of you that came. For those of you especially, thank you that helped make it happen. There was just a lot of preparation involved, from the grass cutting and trimming to setting up to the cooking, the games, the cleanup. Yeah, we just had a great time. I mean, look at the shaving cream relay got a little bit out of hand, but that was fun. Had some great food, laughter, fun together.
Oh, look at that.
I know, aren't they sweet? Yeah.
Look at that. Oh.
That Yeah.
That worked.
Pastor Ben was a good sport. Elsie, where are you? There you go. How long did it take for that shaving cream taste to get out of your mouth? That's awful, isn't it? Yeah. So just such a good time. And we're just so thankful to our Heavenly Father, really, for providing this building for us after those 13 years of setting up and tearing down at the school. It's awesome. It's a blessing. And we just look forward to more things like this to come, where we can get together inside the building, outside the building. There's great space out there, and for us to come together, really laugh, and like Pastor Ben was saying, share our lives together, see people's families come together, see people get saved. That's an awesome thing. So today we're talking about the second part of this series, Unleashing the Power of God's Word, speaking it. Say, speak it.
Speak it.
All right, if you brought your Bible with you, a paper Bible, is there such a thing as a paper Bible still? Turn to John 6:63. If you didn't bring a Bible, or if you have your phone, you can turn to it there. We are going to have it up on PowerPoint. If you have neither with you, that's all right.
That's why we have it on PowerPoint.
We got you covered.
Yep.
But I would recommend, if you don't own your own Bible, I mean, if you're good with electronic, that's fine. But I just think there's something about a paper Bible where you can open it up and write some notes to yourself when you're at home, that you feel like the Holy Spirit is speaking to you as you're reading the Word of God. That's just valuable. So
Amen.
Important to have your own personal Bible. And so turn to John 6:63. How many of you would like to unleash more of God's power in your life?
Yes, yes, yes.
I mean, I suppose if you came to church this morning, you're thinking, I need something from God in my life, right? I want to unleash His power in my life. And really, to get the most out of coming to church, you need to come with an expectant heart.
Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
Ask God. Just ask Him in your seat. Help me to hear your voice today. Pastor Ben prayed a similar kind of prayer, because God responds to our faith. And so, God, you know, I pray that you would speak to all of us today about the importance of our words. And so Jesus said this in John 6:63. He said, it's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and life. Well, just pause for a moment and look at what that is saying to us here. That Jesus is saying the words that He speaks are full of His Spirit and full of His life. And so that means that His Word contains the power to change our lives,
Amen.
To transform our lives when we unleash it, because it does have to be unleashed.
Come on.
I mean, God's Word, is it right there on the screen? God's Word contains the power to transform our lives.
Yeah, look at that.
But the power is going to lie dormant on the inside of us, even though His Spirit lives on the inside of us, until we unleash it, till we speak it.
Come
speaking
on.
It is one way to unleash it. It's like when you have this big dog. You know, God's Word is powerful. And how many of you have ever had a big dog? We used to have a big German Shepherd.
Loved him.
Yeah. You have this big, strong dog, you know, like, you know it can run. You know it likes to run. But you're holding it on this tight leash. Our dog was like that. As soon as it saw you go to the door to open up where the leash was and they heard a jingle, it was like, oh, I'm going for a walk. I mean, the thing could hardly contain himself. So you're leashing it and you're starting out on that walk down the street. The dog weighed almost 100 pounds, and so he's like jerking your shoulder almost out of joint, and he's choking himself on the collar, just tugging and pulling and trying to go. And you're thinking, man, I wonder how fast this dog would go if I just unleashed this thing. So you, we would go out up in the woods where there would be a field where you could do that when nobody was around. And boy, he knew it. As soon as you take that leash off of him, wow, he would just take off like a vapor trail behind him. You're thinking, that dog can run. That dog can go. And that's really what happens sometimes, I think, to us. You know the dog has potential, but when it's on a leash, it's being held.
Yeah.
And when you let go, you take the thing off the leash, it runs, and you see the potential and the life that it has in it.
Come on.
And that's really the way it is with us, I'd say, in God's word.
Well,
right?
It is true. You know, without realizing it, you know, we're holding back the power and the potential in God's word to work in our own lives because we keep it on a short leash. And so how do we do that? I mean, how doesn't everybody want to release the power of God that's within you? Doesn't everybody want to walk in the resurrection power that God is offering to us? Yeah, of course we do. You know, but how do we hold it on a short leash? It goes back to what we talked about 2 weeks ago. One of the ways that we hold God's word on a short leash is that we don't read it. Because we're talking about reading it, speaking it, and doing it. That's unleashing the power of God in your life. His words contain power. His words are spirit, and they are life. They are life. We want to partake of that spirit. We want to partake of that life, that resurrection life. And so how do we do it? It begins with reading it. Everybody say reading it.
Reading it.
You know, I had challenged you guys way back to read the New Testament. And if you were staying on track, you're going to be done with it September 17th. Okay? Now, for you guys who didn't keep up with it, now, if you read the four Gospels, everybody say four Gospels.
Four Gospels.
If you read the four Gospels, you'll be done before Christmas, and that would be a great Christmas present to give Jesus, wouldn't it?
Amen. Yeah.
But this is it. Look at this scripture that we have coming up here. It's found in Romans. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. This is a great scripture. It says this. Put it up there. Go ahead. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. It's through faith that we are pleasing to God. It's through faith that we bring all the heavenly blessings that we've been given into this natural realm. It's through faith. So if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, what is it that we must do? Read it. Because, you know, when you read it, everybody, you know, when you read it, don't you hear your own voice inside?
Inside, yeah.
It's not like you're just reading words and it's all blank up here. You're reading words and you're hearing what you're reading. Yeah. You're hearing what it is. So faith is going to grow in your heart, and faith is what you're going to overcome this world with. The Bible declares, boy, that was not good. The Bible declares that we overcome the world through our faith. Through our faith. We're going to overcome the world through our faith. So how does faith begin? We just read it. How does it begin? Reading it. Right. The series that we're in is unleashing the power of God in your life. And we first step is to read it. The second step is to speak it. But if we're not reading, you're not going to be inclined to speak it.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what it says. But God says that we release our faith through the words that we speak. This is really important. It's really important. This is how we're going to receive the Spirit and the life that Jesus said is in his word, by reading it. We've got to read it. And we don't read it like a news blog. You know, we don't read it like, you know, if you put on the newspaper. Anybody get the paper anymore? It's like, we do. I also carry cash. Is
ourselves.
That old-fashioned?
Yeah.
But you come and you approach the Word of God in a different way. You come and you approach the Word of God in faith with an open and teachable heart. That's on your outline. You must have a teachable heart. You know, if you come to read the Bible and you're a scoffer, or you just like are challenging it, you're certainly not going to get what God is offering to you through his words. You know, this is how Jesus rebuked the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees were a group of people in his day that were extremely knowledgeable of the Word of God. They could quote the Word of God, not just one scripture, but they could quote you the scripture that's before and the scripture that's after. They were well-respected, they were honored, and in a sense revered because of their knowledge of the scriptures. But here's the problem. Jesus told them with all their knowledge it wasn't enough, because they didn't actually read it to have fellowship with God. They read it so that they could know it and try to force people to keep the law. Jesus said that guys, listen, you don't get it. You read the scriptures, and the scriptures are all pointing to me. They didn't even recognize God. So it's more than just reading the Bible, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's reading it with an open heart. Allowing God to speak to you. Allowing God to change you. Because how many people need changed? Everybody's hand should be up here, because none of us have arrived. Amen. Just let you know, those people who are perfect, this is the wrong church for you. Because I came late. Look what Jesus said here. This is pretty awesome. It's John chapter 5, verse 39. And this is what he says. He's speaking to the Pharisees here. He says, you're busy analyzing the scriptures and poring diligently over them in hopes of gaining eternal life. Everything you read points to me, yet you still refuse to come to me so I can give you the life you're looking for. Eternal life.
Yeah. I mean, what kept them from making a heart connection with Jesus? The living God, the
yes.
living Jesus is right in front
right
of them.
Right in front of them.
Like you said, they knew the scriptures. A Pharisee who was raised or in a home as a Pharisee, a young boy, by the age of 12 had to memorize the first five books of the Bible.
First five books of the Bible.
Think about that. Open up and count how many pages that is. The first five books of the Bible. That's some serious effort.
I don't even know.
But how many of us know that just sheer memorization doesn't necessarily mean you're comprehending anything? I think anybody who's ever taken a test at school and had a lot of facts to memorize could understand what I'm talking about. You do a great job memorizing all the facts,
mm-hmm.
but later you realize, I didn't really understand anything about what I put down there. I could just sort of recite it back, regurgitate it back, and don't ask me anything about how it all fits together. I don't know, but I got an A on the test. Right? And I think this is what happened to the Pharisees. Like, they understood what they knew the scripture.
Right.
They took a lot of pride in knowing a lot about the facts of the scripture. They went through a lot of religious effort,
mm-hmm.
but they missed seeing who it was all talking about. Knowing God, becoming a Christian, is about entering into a personal relationship with
yep.
the living God who is on the pages of this word. And scripture knowledge doesn't necessarily mean there's a true relationship with Jesus going on. And so this is on our outline, our true relationship with Jesus means there's a submission to his lordship.
There
it's
you
like
go.
He's Lord, he's Savior. And so when there's a relationship of when we give our life to him, then mm-hmm. there's this interaction about, well, who are you? Teach me about your life and
yeah.
what I have now living, who's living on the inside of me. And the Pharisees, you know, they knew they'd have to humble themselves to do that. And that would have bruised, I think, a lot of their egos. They would have to acknowledge, I don't know everything, and I have to become like a child. And that's really what we have to do when we approach the Word of God.
Come on.
We can't think we know everything about God. We have to approach with a teachable spirit.
Come on.
And a willingness to submit. But they liked the praise and honor that the people gave them, the prestige. Right. It was pretty controversial in that day to believe in Jesus. You would have become an outcast. They would have lost friends in their respected place. And so here's what Jesus told them, John 5:44. Yeah. It says, of course you're unable, this is Jesus talking, of course you're unable to believe in me, for you live for the praises of others and not for the praise that comes from the only true God.
Mm.
I mean, this whole encounter that Jesus had with the Pharisees can help us understand why some people get so much life transformation, really, out of the Word of God, and other people seemingly sometimes very little. Because it all begins with an attitude that we approach God with. Like Pastor C was saying, if you just kind of approach it scoffing, like, there's nothing in here for me, and you're reading it like that, you won't get much out of it. But when you approach the Word of God in faith with a teachable spirit, believing there's a person, there's somebody, there's a person that I'm getting to know through these words, it's pretty amazing what begins to happen in your heart and in your life, the transformation that starts to occur. When you begin to just say, Lord, I'm willing to forsake what I thought you said, who I thought you were, what they told me you were like.
Ooh.
You know, I'm willing no matter. And when I open the Word of God and I approach it that way, even if it means that I'm going to be misunderstood for what I say I now believe, by coworkers or maybe by friends, even by families.
Yep.
I mean, sometimes people have this word hater has become really popular. Well, you're a hater now. I might have to give up some friends on Facebook who block me or whatever that might happen, but I'm going to live. We have this. I'm living for an audience of one.
That's awesome.
And that's really has to be ultimately how we approach God, we approach our life, we approach the Word of God. I'm living first and foremost for an audience of one. Amen?
Yes.
And that's Jesus.
And, you know, this is really relevant for us, even though it happened to the Christians back in that day. It's relevant to us because you and I are going to be labeled haters only because we have a standard. Only because we follow God's standard. It's really relevant for true believers this day. Yeah. You know, taking a stand for Christ, taking a stand for Jesus. Not just simply say, oh, yeah, God is this or God. As soon as you say Jesus, because that's the name above all names, the atmosphere can change.
Yeah.
You know it as well as I do. The atmosphere changes. So this is really important for you, and really, Elsie, for you too, because when you take a stand, your friends, even so-called Christians, will come against you. Okay? You make a stand. People who call themselves Christians, Jesus said this, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? Because a real Christian, a true believer, is someone who will take the full counsel of God and apply it to their lives. Yeah. Not just the blessings, you know, because there's some hard sayings that Jesus said, amen?
Mm-hmm.
They're hard and they're like, what? And we do it because he's Lord. Just like what Pastor Mamie is saying, we need to submit. And when we actually have this idea of, you know, I am going to live for the approval from God, not from man.
Yeah.
Not from what people are saying, because as we move forward in this time period, you and I will be labeled, just like what you said, Pastor Mamie, as haters. Even though we love them and we're telling them the way to heaven is through Jesus Christ and that's the only way to heaven, you will be labeled a hater.
Yeah.
You know, it's exclusive because there's only one name that has been given for mankind to be saved. But it's all inclusive when you come to him with a humble heart.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, thank God for what he's done in our lives. So, you know, it's again, I want to challenge you to read the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you as you read them. And make notes, like Pastor Mamie's, you know, her Bibles are just chock full of great notes. I want you to do the same thing. And just like she says, this isn't just reading something. You're getting to know a person. And he's the one who created you.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome that he's opening up himself to you and to me. This is why you have to live for the audience of one.
Yeah.
God. You know, but today we're going to look at how to unleash the power of God's word in our lives. And so we're going to look at the word of God, the Bible. Everybody say the Bible.
Bible.
That's the word of God. And we're going to see what it says. We're going to just touch on it because the Bible's full of things, words about instructions on how to speak, what to say in our language. It's vital that we get this because our words, do they really matter?
Yes.
Do they really matter?
Yes.
Absolutely they do. So let's look at a few scriptures. We're going to start off about how the word of God framed this world. And your words can frame your life.
Yeah.
Because words matter. Words carry power. Words carry power.
Amen.
And words can change an atmosphere. You know, anybody gone into the home and, you know, just walk in, you know, oh, there was trouble here earlier. You can change it. Your words. Look what it says here. God framed and created the universe with his words. With his words. And look at chapter 11, verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God, so that what we see was not made out of the things which were visible. God at creation, we know the story. If you don't, it's found in Genesis, the first book of the Bible. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep, it says. And the earth at that point was formless, void. And what happened? God said, let there be light. There was light. He said, let dry ground appear. And there was dry ground. It was. Now, suppose God came down and started to say, man, this is really a mess. It's dark. What would have happened? Exactly what
stayed
he said.
The same. Yeah.
You know, but here's the problem. You know, we do that, don't we? We look at our life and we start to tell it like the circumstances of our life. Do you know that your words have power, and the more you talk about the problem, the bigger it gets? You got to start finding out what the Bible says about your situation. And you start framing your world with the words of God.
Yeah.
Change the atmosphere of your home.
Yeah.
It could be a taste of heaven.
Yeah.
It can be a taste of heaven. It's your words, my words. You know, here's the problem. This whole culture, unbelievable what I've heard from elected officials coming out of their mouth. This world at this point in this age is so loose with their words, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
It's really dangerous.
So here's another powerful truth, though, about words, that we're going to eat the fruit of our words. We're going to eat the fruit of our words. Look what Proverbs 18:21 says. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. Yes. I mean, that scripture tells us there's life and death in the power of the tongue. Think about that for a moment. I mean, too many times we say things and we really just think, it doesn't really matter. I mean, we could do a lot of chatter, 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 can't we?
Yes.
We think, do our words really matter? But if we considered the power behind our words, I think we might choose our words a little bit more carefully.
Yeah.
Because our words are like seeds going out. They do get planted into
good
hearts eventually, if you say things long enough. And they produce fruit.
Come on.
In our lives, our words do have creative power. I mean, anytime we're speaking something, if it's going towards the good, or it's going towards the bad, or it's going towards the positive, or it's going towards the negative, you know, we're speaking towards life, or we are speaking towards death, if you will. And we don't like to think this way or believe this, but much of what you and I have in our life today is a direct result of what you've been believing and saying about life, about yourself.
Come on.
Right? I mean, you might think your words don't matter, but our words carry power.
Yep.
For death and life, Scripture says, and they do bring a harvest eventually in our life. I mean, thank God our words don't bring an instant harvest like God. Let there be light, and it was, because some of the things we'd say we'd want to take back. Oh, I didn't mean that. Oh, my back's killing me. But you'd be like, ow. Right? You know, just.
Or you might have to change your pants.
Ooh, yeah. I mean, too many people go around just saying negative things about themselves, about their families, about their work, about their future.
Come
right?
On.
I'll never be successful.
Yeah, come on.
The sickness is just going to get the best of me. This business is, I don't know what's going on, they're probably not going to make it. This flu season's coming around, I'm probably going to get it.
I mean,
right? You've heard it.
Maybe hopefully
you've done
you
it.
Have,
hopefully yeah. You have. Maybe now you're going to be like, zip it.
Come on.
But we don't realize in many ways, in a simplified way, we're prophesying our future.
Come on.
We're just speaking words out. Scripture says we're going to eat the fruit of our words. Well, then what we're saying, we're basically sowing seeds towards our future, an image, right?
Come on.
And that means that we end up getting in some form of fashion what we've been saying. And like you're saying, we live in a culture that's so loose with our words in a negative way. Are we not?
Yeah.
I'm stunned at what gets permitted anymore. To be put in writing and permitted in movies. And we need mouth guards on. We're talking about speak it. We're supposed to speak life. But
come on.
In some ways, we're supposed to zip it. Because look at Ephesians 5:4 says, guard your speech.
Ooh, yeah.
Forsake obscenities and worthless insults. These are nonsensical words that bring disgrace and are unnecessary. Instead, let worship fill your heart and spill out in your words.
That's
so
awesome.
We have to be thinking according to life.
Come on.
And so here's the key. You know, you've got to send your words out in the direction that you'd want your life to go. You want to plant the seed so that you get a harvest according to what those words are. You can't always be speaking about defeat then go, I don't know why, I just feel like I don't experience any victory in my life. You can't keep talking about lack. I don't have enough. I'll probably never have enough. I won't ever have a good job. I won't ever have the pay that I want. And expect to then say, why don't I have abundance? We can't expect abundance if our words are always going towards the negative or towards the lack.
Come on.
You can't talk fear all the time and expect to have joy and faith coming out of your heart. Right? I mean, it just doesn't happen.
Come on.
It's like something gets all mixed up on the inside. So we want to be sure that we're using our mouth and our tongue to speak life, life-giving words.
Yes.
What God says about you. Declare good things about your life. Speak blessings over your life.
Yes.
Speak blessings over your family's life.
Yes.
I mean, throughout the day, just say, mutter things to yourself. I just have the favor of God on
me. Amen.
You know, I'm strong. My body is strong and healthy in Jesus' name. My children are blessed. They'll serve the
Woo!
Lord.
Yes.
You know, I'm training them up in the way they'll go. When they're old, they're not going to depart from it.
Amen.
Speak life over
Jeez.
Your family.
Because truly, your children are a product of your words. And this is on our outline. Children are a product of the words an adult or a parent speaks over them.
Yeah.
How you react and how you respond, what you call them, becomes either a blessing or it becomes, you know, a blessing which they can treasure in their heart and hold on to, or becomes a curse.
Yeah.
You know, and especially today with all the broken homes and all the blended families, you know, there's a lot of unresolved issues. There's a lot of baggage going around. And you can't let your children be the brunt of it. Can I hear an amen?
Amen, yeah.
You know, if they come home and they did bad on a test, you know, and you react by yelling and belittling them, you know, you don't get it. You're smart. You're not smart enough. You're dumb. You know, what are you putting into that kid? Or if you come back and react and says, oh, man, that's maybe we need some more help preparing for these tests. You know, you're smart. You can get this. You know, how can I help you? You know, God lives in you. He's your wisdom. He's going to help you. Remember what needs to be remembered. He's going to help you. Which would you rather want to put in your child? Yeah. You're dumb. You're never going to make it. Or you're blessed of God. I'm telling you what, you smart. We're going to figure this out, and we're going to step into this, and we're going to get it right.
You know, the home atmosphere, like you were saying before, is just such a product of our words. Because harsh words do linger in the atmosphere. You know, like you said.
Everybody knows that.
It's like when you cook fish in your home for dinner, and 17 hours later, people walk in, it's like, did you have fish left? You know, I remember that when our kids were growing up.
Right.
And when he and I would not be getting along, and there might be some days where you just felt like, oh, there's this tension, and your kids pick up on it.
Yes,
I could remember, you know, our kids coming in, one of them looking at me going, are you and Dad mad at each other? Are you fighting in this house? You know, because they could pick up.
Yep.
They know what's going on. And wives and husbands, you know, just biting words spoken in the morning, especially.
Come on, guys.
It's easy to do. We all do it. We all learn from it. Yes. Get up and something negative's rolling around in your mind, and so you're making your coffee, and pretty soon you're talking about what you're thinking about. And if it's negative, and that negative can sometimes just start feeding, you feed off of one another, you can walk out of the house feeling like you're not ready for the day. You feel like something's been already robbed from you for the day. Your efficiency is already getting drained out, right? You're driving to work and you're just thinking about the negative conversation or maybe the biting word that was exchanged in the morning. It robs us.
Come on, guys.
Of the mentally energy, emotional energy, because it just attaches to our mind. And it's the same way for our kids. We want to speak life over our children before they go out the door. Because a little loving word, a little word of encouragement in the mind of your child or even in husband or wife, you know something's on their mind. We could use our words to turn it around instead of walking out the door going, oh, I don't know what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. See you later.
Come on.
It's like, honey, I don't know. I don't have an answer, but I know God's big.
That's
and
right.
He's going to help us somehow.
Right.
Amen. That's just enough to reset the mind. The same thing for your child who might feel like, well, there's a bully on the bus or I can't get it or whatever. Just, honey, God is with you. God loves you. He's going to help you. Just trust him. He's bigger than anything.
Amen.
And send the kid out the door. Those words will roll around in their heart. And the Holy Spirit has something then to work with in their
great
mind in the classroom or on the playground somewhere. So we want to fill the atmosphere of our home with words of love and faith.
Come on. Don't we?
Yes.
Come on. That's
loving,
so true.
You know, and parents, maybe you're thinking back on your own childhood and you're thinking, well, I never heard words of love and affirmation when I was a kid. I didn't grow up that way. I didn't hear words like, oh, you're blessed and I love you, or you're precious to me, or you're precious to God. Maybe all you heard was yelling and screaming and you were a mistake and nothing you ever do is right and you're just trouble for me. Mm. Those kinds of words. But you can't say, well, if I didn't get it at home, then they don't need it, right?
Yeah, don't be the Rambo guy, you know. Come on. That's a cop-out, man.
Yeah.
It's a cop-out. Because truth is, those words did affect your heart.
Yeah.
They affected your heart and put a void in there. It's true. But God's bigger than that void in your heart.
Amen.
And God wants you to start speaking out words of life, like Pastor Mamie says, love, encouragement, words of life. Again, where does this all start? How do we unleash the power of God's word in our lives? It starts by reading the word. Starts then, next thing is speaking out. You know, you parents, we're on purpose following the leading of God and bringing in a small group about parenting. I don't care if you're grandpa or grandma. I'm a grandpa. I'm still learning about this. Our kids turned out pretty good. It's because we submitted to God's leadership. It's because we submitted to Jesus, and he corrected us on the way.
We turned the ship, which will be eventually our next scripture. But the ship was going in the wrong direction.
It was, for sure.
But we do have a life group coming up.
This life group is really for parents. It's going to be a video from Dr. Paul Tripp. He's an award-winning author, and he is helping parents everywhere he goes. And we have the privilege of being able to bring a conference here through these videos to help you, mom and dad, to help you if it's a blended family, to help you if you've gone through a divorce and you're the mom and has the child. Listen, it's a simple four-week study.
Yeah.
4 weeks. 4 weeks, and you can turn the ship. You can start to turn the ship around in your house.
Yeah.
You can start to speak life to your kids. And when you start to speak life to your kids, even if you didn't get it, you know the void that's in your heart. But don't continue that same thing. Time to change. You have the power of God in you. So now you're going to start to speak life into these children.
Yeah.
And this small group that we're going to have is going to be extremely helpful in that area. We as a church want to come alongside you parents, because your kids are going to see stuff that we never saw. Your kids are going to have to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You know, the Bible declares that those who know their God will be strong and do exploits. We want to get these kids into this and understand it from a young age, because they're going to be pulled in many different directions, and we know that the directions that the world pulls you are empty. Can I get an amen?
Amen, yeah.
And so we want to fill them with life. And so you have a great responsibility, mom and dad, because what are you doing? You're developing a soul, a human soul. You're developing and molding them into something.
Yeah.
And God has put an incredible responsibility upon parents to do it the right way.
Yeah.
And listen, if you haven't done it the right way, you can change.
Yeah.
Everybody say, I can change.
I can change.
With the help of God.
With the help of God.
I can change.
I can change.
With the help of God.
With the help of God.
I can be a blessing.
I can be a blessing.
Yes, you can.
That's right. And that goes right with this next scripture. We can turn our life around with words.
Sweet.
James chapter 3, verse 2 to 5, it says
we
all fail in many areas. Amen.
Caught us.
But especially with our words.
There you go.
Yet if we're able to bridle the words we say, we are powerful enough to control ourselves in every way. And that means our character is mature and fully developed.
Beautiful.
Verse 3, horses have bits and bridles in their mouths so that they can control and guide their large body. Mm. And the same with mighty ships. Though they are massive and driven by fierce winds, yet they are steered by a tiny rudder at the direction of the person at the helm.
Mm.
Verse 5, and so the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it carries great power.
Yes.
Just think of how small a small flame can set a huge forest ablaze.
Mm.
I think, and haven't we all seen how one careless word, sharp word spoken at the wrong time, creates this bonfire of an argument between often husbands and wives or in our relationships, arguments in our home. And so the tongue, it says here, is likened to a rudder that can change the direction of something as big as a ship. Wherever the pilot decides to put that rudder on the ship, that's the direction that that big vessel is going to slowly but surely begin to go.
Truth.
And so you and I are the pilots, you know, in charge of our tongue, right?
Yes.
And so you got to send our words out in the direction you want, like the ship of your life to go. It's like, if I want blessings in my life, I want experience life, then I need to use my tongue as a rudder and go, I'm going to speak this. And this is saying the tongue is like a rudder. It will change the course.
Amen.
That's pretty powerful. And again, I have to remind us that we cannot regularly speak defeat. It's not going to work out.
Come on.
You know, I don't know why this always happens to me. And expect our life to have victory. And I know often what we do is we look at ourselves from the outside and we think, how am I going to change? How's this situation in my life ever going to turn around? But when you start to unleash the power of God's word by speaking life over it, you are really framing your future.
Come on.
You're prophesying life over yourself. Thank God that my child will be mighty in the land. Thank God my child will use their voice to have an effect and influence in their generation.
Yes.
You know, in God's word spoken out of your mouth is going to affect the direction of not just your life, but the life of your children.
Come on.
They'll hear it. They'll hear it. And it'll begin to change their heart. And this is the other thing. Do you know that the words that you say about yourself have the greatest impact on you compared to any words that people speak? I know we can hear words from others and they can hurt us, but the words that you speak over yourself have the greatest impact on you. And many people are just overly critical of themselves. I'm so clumsy. I can't do anything right. Mm. I'll probably always be overweight. I can never do this. I never get any good breaks. We do a lot in our mind, but we do often verbalize those things. We speak it out. And as we do speak it out, those words just keep sinking in our mind. And what are we doing? We're developing this defeated mentality.
Right. That's not a Christian.
It diminishes our confidence about who we are, who Jesus says that we
Amen.
Are. Right?
Come on.
Our esteem for and value for our life just keeps becoming more and more limited.
Come on.
Speak blessings over your life.
Yes.
I mean, maybe you struggle with condemnation about things that happened to you in the past, but if you're going to change the rudder of always just waking up and feeling like I can't, you're mm-hmm. underneath the condemnation of those thoughts, boldly speak about your righteousness in Christ.
Amen.
It's a gift given to you. You didn't deserve it. No, I mean, we didn't just settle that once and for all. You don't deserve it. But Jesus said, I gave it to you as a gift.
Amen.
Now speak boldly about it. Well, thank God I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Even when you're looking like something is the opposite or you're facing defeat.
I think we all ever say that.
That God is pleased with me because you've been made the righteousness of God. He smiles on you.
Come on.
His favor rests on you.
Yes.
You have to tell yourself and say it. He's on my side. Oh, I thank God. It
Hallelujah.
Looks like maybe the world is against me today, but he's on my side.
Thank
if he's
you,
on
Jesus.
My side, I'll make it.
Thank you, Lord.
If you say something like that on a consistent basis, guilt and condemnation, it just won't hang around very long.
Yeah, true.
It won't. And you might say, oh, yeah, Pastor Amy, I just can't say that, you know, because none of that's just true in my life. But it is true. I say it again. It is true. Because we're not talking about something that we see here in the natural. We're talking by faith about what we believe God's word says.
Come on.
You know, the world is going to tell us you have to see it before you believe it. But the word of God says,
yes.
No, you believe it, say it, and then you'll see it.
Come on.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
And so that's what our faith is all about. And this is important to understand, too, that it's not enough to avoid saying anything negative. Well, I just won't say anything. I'll just be silent.
Come on.
Right? You have to go all like on the offensive.
Amen.
And make the declarations over your life. I mean, if the pilot of a ship is just going to sit there and go, well, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to let this rudder go wherever it wants to go. I don't know where it's going to go. It has to make a decision. This is where we're going.
Amen.
So you have to get on the
Come
offensive
on.
With
Come
it
on.
And say, I, the Lord's given me his life. I'm going to speak his words over my life. And that's how you open up to yourself to walk in his purposes
Come
for
on.
Your life. So we need to start making the positive declarations over our lives.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on. That's good preaching.
So
I'll tell you what, this is life-changing. If you just put this in practice, it's life-changing. It'll change your life.
Yeah.
You know, again, who's in charge of your thinking? You are.
Yeah.
The first step really is to read it. But again, you have to go to the idea And you have to resist the idea of being like a Pharisee. All right, yeah, I know that, yeah, I know that, yeah, I could quote that, yeah, mm-hmm, okay. How much are you going to get out of that?
Zero.
If you humble yourself, you recognize, you know what? I'm a sinner. I'm saved by grace through my faith in what Jesus Christ did for me. You humble yourself to know, you know what? I don't know it all. I only know a little bit. So your first step is, first of all, making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. I mean the Lord of your life. He's the one that I'm trying to please. Pleasing the audience of one. And how do you approach Jesus? You approach him just as you are. You don't have to clean yourself up. You can't clean yourself up. You approach him just as you are. You say to him, Jesus, I have sinned against you. I have actually probably bad-mouthed you. I probably used your name the wrong way. I probably cursed the Father. I've ignored you. I wanted to do it all my one way, my way. But I recognize that I can't get myself out of the position I am in because only something supernatural. And I can't make anything supernatural happen, but you can. It's when you humbly come to him and ask him, Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. I humbly come to you and I submit myself to you. I give you my life. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. And I believe that what you did on the cross, you shed your blood for me on the cross for the forgiveness of my sin, forgiving me of all my sin. And then they put you in a grave. You were buried in a grave for 3 days. And the Bible says that he took your place. What you deserved, he took your place. You don't have to go to hell because Jesus made a way for you to go to heaven. And when you put your trust in him, just like that, you recognize what he did. You own it for yourself. You own it for yourself. You call out to him. You humble yourself. You ask him to forgive you of your sin. You ask him to come into your life and be the Lord of your life. There's a miracle that happens right then and there. It's a supernatural miracle. You are forgiven. Not just forgiven of your sins. Listen to me carefully. Not just forgiven of your sins. You become a new creature in Christ. Old things pass away, all things become new. You now are a new spirit being. Your spirit was dead and separated from God, and you had no way back except through Jesus Christ. And it's a gift given to you, offered to everybody on this planet. If you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life in every area, I'm asking you, do you want to? Why would you hold back? Do you want your sins forgiven? Why would you hold back? Do you want this new life that he's offering? Why would you hold back? Is there anybody here that wants to surrender their life to Jesus and be born again, have your sins forgiven? He's offering that to you right now. You might be like nervous on the inside of your body. You might be torn and you know why? Because there's a war going on for your soul right now. Because the devil wants to keep you, and the Spirit of God is drawing you to himself. Anyone at all? Very good. Jesus paid the price. We all know that. You're born again. Jesus has another gift for you. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just like it happened in the book of Acts. He says you'll be endued with power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And if you want this power can help you with your words and with your mouth. Because no man can tame the tongue. We need the help of the Holy One himself. If you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, after service, I want you to come over here and John and Cindy will lead you into the prayer. And you'll be filled with the Spirit of God. It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. After I was filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke in other tongues, that Bible came alive to me like never before. It's because the Holy Spirit came upon me and he's leading me and teaching me all through my life. Gift for everybody. So if that's you, after service, just go right over there to John and Cindy, and you'll be filled with the Holy Ghost.